looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, Tetrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuaid, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston, home for sports, 95, The Sports Hub.
And Kimbrel deals 1-2. Breaking ball is grounded weakly to third. Nunez fields, fires, and it is in time for the out. Ball game over. Boston wins. And the Yankees, I think, before they celebrate, I think the Yankees going to look at it. And I think the Yankees, and they'd be nuts not to look at it. Nunez fires to first, and he's out. The throw hit Pierce's glove. He's out. Ball game over. Boston wins. And Boston wins the American League Division Series 3-1.
Okay, let me get this out of the way quickly here. Baseball Reporters Playoff Edition is presented by Budweiser. Boston, this Bud's for you, and it's for you especially today. Red Sox wipe out the Yankees. 3-1 in the American League Division Series. 4 games it took. Boston wins. The Red Sox now go on to the American League Championship Series for the first time since 2013, where they will meet the defending world champion Houston Astros. 617-779-0985. Going to be largely caller-driven tonight for obvious reasons. Okay, just a massive, massive win for the Red Sox last night in New York. And really, it's about the last 2 days as much as it is game four. They go to New York. They win both games. They win one of them 16-1. They win the other one 4-3. They wipe out the Yankees after a 108-win season, 111 wins and counting, and the Red Sox are in the LCS. Finally with this group. Finally in the American League Championship Series. So Murray, Jim Murray's here alongside, as is Jimmy Stewart, our producer. Jim Murray, I want you to repeat after me. I made this admission, but I want you to repeat after me.
Sure.
I crapped
my
pants
hard. I crapped my pants hard
in the ninth inning last night. Did you or did you not?
It was getting leaky. it was actually too tight for anything to come out.
Okay, so look, if you're a Red Sox fan, don't tell me you didn't crap your pants last night, because you did. You crapped them. I know you did, because I crapped them. And I said this earlier, I'm going to repeat it. Over the last 2 or 3 years, boy, have I given the Red Sox a lot of grief for crapping their pants in big moments. They've left a mess in their shorts the last 2 years in big moments. And we've criticized them over and over again, I know I have. And last night in the ninth inning, I want to congratulate them because they got me to crap mine. Craig Kimbrel in particular. Wow, what a finish last night in New York. So in any case, 617-779-0985. Here is what struck me most about this series. And other than the fact that the Red Sox showed grit, they showed resilience, they showed an ability to win different kinds of games, and it was hairy. It was hairy in that ninth inning, without any doubt whatsoever. But ultimately, they pulled through. And we learned a little bit about the bullpen, which we'll get through later. But I asked this question earlier in the day, so let me ask you as a Red Sox fan, and let me ask Murray and Jimmy Stewart quickly too. If I were to say to you who's the most valuable player for the Red Sox in that division series, who would you say?
Player? I mean, I want to go with the manager, but player? I don't know.
Okay, just hold that thought. Jimmy Stewart, do you have one quickly off the top of your head, or is there a clear choice?
I was going to say Alex Cora, the manager. There is no clear choice for a player. There are a bunch of candidates for this.
I mean, okay. Real quick, there's part of me that wants to say Sandy Leone because of how big he was in game one, because if any of those balls got past him, we're talking about them going 0-2, down 0-2 into New York.
Okay, so there is no MVP of the division series. The award actually doesn't exist, right? I'm asking it sort of, rhetorically.
Hypothetically.
Yeah, hypothetically, better. And the reason I ask it is precisely for the reason that you guys can't come up with an answer, because there isn't one. There was not a singular dominant player for the Red Sox in this series. J.D. Martinez had a home run in game one. Chris Sale pitched well in game one and came out and gave him an inning in game four. But Porcello did the same thing. Porcello gave him 5 innings in game 4 and 1 inning in game 1. He was the reverse of Sale, but effectively they gave you the same thing.
Sure.
Nathan Eovaldi was really good. You could argue him, I guess.
Yeah.
He had one start. Nathan Eovaldi was excellent.
Went deep. He was nails in that game, yeah.
And honestly, this is what I like most about this series. What's that expression? It takes a village?
Yes.
It takes a clubhouse. It takes a whole clubhouse. And so what I would say, like if you really held the gun to my head and asked me or forced me to answer who the most valuable member of the Red Sox was, I would tell you their role players as a group. Like, I look at the last two games and I say Brock Holt and Ian Kinsler at second base combined. Rafael Devers and Eduardo Nunez at third base combined. Christian Vasquez, to me, those are the guys. Those five guys are what won you the series. And that puts a lot of onus and emphasis on Cora, Cora is so hot right now, it isn't funny. Whatever Cora does, just repeat it. Okay, do whatever Alex Cora does, you're going to be in good shape. Because he pretty much nailed every decision here over the last couple of nights, and I'm not saying that it was perfect because it wasn't. But overall, boy, just you almost never see it happen the way it happened, where the Red Sox put lefties in the lineup against Severino, and they all produced. And then the next night, put righties in against a lefty in Sabathia, and they all produced. To the point, and Christian Vasquez was really the most stunning one of all. Vasquez had not caught Porcello all year. Cora puts him in the lineup against Sabathia. He ends up hitting a home run that is the decisive run in the series, and the Red Sox are on, onto the LCS. It's been a long week, so forgive the voice a little bit. 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls right away. Brian is in a car. Brian, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. So I know we crap on Dombrowski as much as we do, but after watching this first series in the playoffs, how thankful are you that they did not get Giancarlo Stanton? He puked all over his cleats.
So, Brian, look, you're right on Stanton. I mean, and as I watched him more and more this year, I was less and less impressed. Now, look, at the end of the day, he had a good regular season, but in the playoffs, he looks like a complete liability. He left 15 men on, and if you're talking about who would have changed the Red Sox more, if that's the way you're looking at it, Martinez versus Stanton, it's absolutely J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez had a way more profound impact on the Boston lineup than Giancarlo Stanton could have. Stanton's an easy out. He's an easy out. And I think we can say that definitively now. Now, long term, I can't tell you what's going to happen, but J.D. Martinez is a more complete hitter. They evaluated the right guy. Taylor's in California wants to talk about, Craig Kimbrel.
Yes, I just wanted to say, Craig Kimbrel is a total hatchet job. How could Cora let him stay in there and absolutely ruin that game? That game was so important. That meant everything. And walk, beam batter, two runs scored. How does Cora let him in there? We all knew that was going to happen. We all knew.
Taylor, what would you have done? Would you have left Sale in there for 2 innings?
Listen, I would have put Sale back in there because of how important this win was. Yes, absolutely. There's a few days of rest. I would have put Sale in there to just finish it off. If Kimbrel needed to pitch one batter, then fine. But that was a disgusting, barf-inducing hatchet job.
Okay, so look, there aren't a few days of rest. There's 1 day of rest. Sale would have had to pitch game 5, having thrown a couple of innings. Now, I didn't like Sale being in the game at all. So when I saw Kimbrel get up, I did sort of say, well, geez, I think I'd rather have Sale in there. But I didn't like Sale being in the game at all. If I'm going to be truthful about it, when Sale get up in the bullpen, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. And ultimately, since we talked about all the sort of loss of bowel control in the ninth inning last night, Kimbrel was at the top of the list. That was a massive choke job. They got away with it, but it was a massive choke job. And in the years that they won, the Red Sox really didn't have any of that. So you can go back. Papelbon was dominating when he got in the ninth inning. He didn't have hair-raising saves like that one. Same with Uehara in 2013, and same with Keith Folk in 2004. When their closer came in the game, you felt good about it. Now you don't. Now, at the end of the day, all that matters is the result. So we'll see how this one shakes out. But boy, Kimbrel last night, Holy crap. What a I can't remember feeling as anxious in the final innings of a Red Sox postseason game as I did in that one last night for a long time. I can't tell you how far back you have to go to find that sort of feeling again. It was old school Red Sox collapse kind of feeling. Like Calvin Schiraldi, Grady Little kind of failure. You got to go back a long way to really feel that one. That's what that felt like last night.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's still a tough matchup, but the way Brock was swinging the bat, we do feel that he can put good at-bats against him.
That ball's ripped down the right field line. That is a fair ball home run, and the cycle for Brock Holt.
Stuff-wise, one of the best pitchers in the big leagues. Velocity, movement with the cutter, he has that split. Been throwing the ball well against them.
There's a called strike three as Eovaldi hits 100 here in the seventh inning. There's a swing and a miss for back-to-back strikeouts for Eovaldi.
Like yesterday, we felt that that was the best lineup for us to attack Severino, and tonight we feel this is the best lineup to attack CC Sabathia. We got a group of righties that we feel that we can match up with him and take advantage of the situation.
Now another base hit for Boston. Could certainly tighten the screws on Aaron Boone. That one's hit hard left field. Gardner can't make the play. Bounces off the wall. Pierce scores. Kinsler into second base with an RBI double. And now another base hit. Nunez into left field. Kinsler's going to turn and head home. It's going to be 3-0 Red Sox. Eduardo Nunez with a two-out RBI single. Fly ball right field. Vasquez sending Judge back. Got some carry. And this ball's going to bounce out. It's a home run for Vasquez.
We returned a lot of guys. You know, he didn't come in and try and change everything. He let us... He just let us be free. I think, you know, he's done a great job in doing that.
I give an enormous amount of credit to Alex, and it seemed like every move he made in this series worked out. Holt playing yesterday and Kinsler playing today. Kinsler had a big key hit. He managed the pitching very well. Had Sale come in the eighth inning, which was very exciting. So he gets an enormous amount of credit.
Series for Alex Cora. I mean, I asked earlier if you had to pick an MVP of the series, and I asked the question on purpose because I don't think there's a right answer, and that speaks to the Red Sox strength and their roster and the balance that they had in this series against the Yankees. But I asked a question about Jimmy Stewart and Jim Murray. Both of them said Alex Cora, which should you know, really give you an idea of the influence the manager had in this series. So now, look, let me just tell you, I like Cora as a manager more than anything. I like the way he communicates with his players and with his fans. With the team's fans. The manager is the most important spokesperson for the franchise. He's the most important guy when it comes to that. John Farrell, at the end, you didn't know what the hell he was saying anymore. And so, I you know, with Cora, to me, it just feels he's real. He's giving you honest answers for the most part. There's a connection there with the fan base and with the players. And it feels real. And he had a great series. That said, do not delude yourself. You're going to hate him at some point and some point soon and think he's stupid for something he does. I guarantee you that. But boy, did he have a hell of a series against the Yankees. Let's go to Mike and Webster. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Tony. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, if the Yankees would have come back and either tied it up and won in extra innings, you know, I look back on Vasquez. Was it the seventh? Was it the eighth inning or ninth inning? We had runners on second and third, either one out or no outs. And he let Vasquez hit for himself. I'm not sure if it was against Betances or not.
It was at Betances, yeah.
Yeah, it was the most awful swing strikeout I've ever seen. You know, you got one of the hottest guys on the team, Brock Holt. You know, and I know you're going to crap me because, you know, the cycle. But anyhow, you know, why wouldn't you pinch hit, knowing that the Yankees could explode at any time and not pinch hit for
Vasquez to get to blow the game open. Yeah, to blow the, and look, Mike, you're not the only one who feels that way. Other people do too. And look, I'm not going to mark, independent of what I think of the cycle, Brock Holt had a four-hit game. And you had a lefty, and he's been a good pinch hitter this year. So you're not the only one to bring that up. You're not wrong to bring that up. And I would tell you that, to me personally, I would have left it the way it was, because to me, what I don't like about hitting for the catcher there is that now you bring Leon into the game. He's your second catcher. And then if something happens and the Yankees come back, now you're in a spot where your only catcher on the bench is Swihart, and I don't think they want to go to that. So I only hit when I'm behind, and like I wouldn't have hit for Kinsler because Kinsler's a better defensive player than Holt. So, but you're not wrong. You would have hit. They get a hit there and blow it open. You're right. It got hairy there, and I didn't love the Sale move. The bottom line is it comes down to Kimbrel. They don't have another closer. They don't really have another option at closer. It'd have to be Sale or a starter, and they're already using that in the eighth inning. So, like, how many holes can you plug? Kimbrel's got to be better. If they're going to win it, Kimbrel's got to be better. Mike is in Groton, I think, wants to talk about an announcement that was made today. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Mez. Yeah, thanks for having me. But you disagreed with Price starting game two.
Correct.
And obviously this is a seven-game series. And the reason I don't mind it is, you know, let's say they go down 0-1 or even up, you know, 1-0 the series. I don't think that's a lot of pressure on Price. I'd rather have the pressure on the other starters later in the series. And lastly, since the Astros are playing the Red Sox, Murray, I'd love a David Price impersonation about his dog, Astro. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so there you go. Murray, you want to oblige him now?
The only Astro that I want to see is my dog, Astro. Not the scary Astros who are going to light me up on Sunday. Likely.
How do you feel about Price starting game two?
I don't like it. I mean, I figured that Cora was going to continue to ride the hot hand. Eovaldi's been their best pitcher, I think, for the better part of a month. So I figured it was going to line up with Sale in game one, Eovaldi game two, Porcello game three. Then you pitch Price, because if this thing goes seven, that assures that Price only starts one game.
Yeah, so look, to me, Price should go four. I look at it simply as the other starters all pitch better. Price is the worst of the lot right now. He gets game four. But that's not how it's going to work. Alex Cora actually made the announcement today on High Heat with Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
One last thing, and I know you're probably not going to tell me, but I'm out doing my job if I don't ask it. I'm assuming Sale game one. Have you made a
and
decision
David
about
game two?
Who's game two? I'm sorry?
David game two. He'll
pitch David's going to pitch game two. So Price will go game two. Okay, very good. That's what I was looking to get.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, straight from the horse's mouth. Cora announced it today. Price goes game two. And so that one to me is, you know, is curious. Because Price has pitched well against Houston this year, and maybe it's that simple. I also think Cora looks at it and says, you know what? He's still my number two starter, and we're going to need this guy. So if I'm gonna win with the holes that we have on the pitching staff, I'm probably going to need David Price to give us some innings at some point, some meaningful innings. And again, I disagree with it. I'd have pitched Price in game four. Cora's going to go with him in game two. And with the way Cora's going right now, he's probably going to end up being right. I mean, he's on that kind of roll. Pat's in London. There we go. Ahead, Pat.
Hey, what's up, Maz? I got 2 points I want to make real quick.
Quickly.
One, I think the bench was better than theirs. That was the decisive thing to win the series. And two, who do you think's a bigger head case? Either Price or Kimbrel. And on Price...
Okay, Pat, Pat, I'm going to let you go. You said two things. Who's the bigger head case? I don't know. But Kimbrel last night, that was a choke job. That was a choke job. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Now, he's done it before where he gets mechanically out of whack. But all of a sudden, he gets on the mound at Yankee Stadium, and it happens again. And so to me, that's not a coincidence. That's the pressure. All of a sudden, the pressure gets cranked up, and Kimbrel starts to crack. It's the same thing with Price. The only thing with Price is it's happened more frequently and over a longer period of time. So right now, I suppose you'd say Price is the bigger head case. But make no mistake, they're going to have to use starters out of the bullpen here in the postseason. Porcello pitched the eighth inning in game one. Sale got in game four. They're probably going to have to repeat that as we go forward. Jim Murray's Get Your Headlines when we come back. To me, one of the real values of Alex Cora, and this is more of a big season comment than it is about the playoffs, has to do with how he projects in press conferences and really what the value is to the franchise. We'll explain that when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Alex, I know you guys were sort of coy about it when asked before Game 3, but given that in your clubhouse you're playing New York, New York during the celebration, did that resonate with you maybe more than you guys let on after Game 2, Judge playing?
Not with me, but I know they talk about it. When Dustin brought it up, I was like, well, they know it happened. I don't know if they took it personal. Probably if we played Dirty Water at Yankee Stadium and they would have clinched in Fenway. Well, they probably played Dirty Water in their clubhouse. So I don't know, man. The kid, he's a great kid. He's a good player. One of the best in the game. He's one of those guys that can become the face of baseball from afar. I really enjoy watching him play, not when he's playing against us. So he's good for baseball. Nothing personal with him.
It's Alex Cora on Aaron Judge. We made a lot about that comment this afternoon on the Felger and Maz show, and actually talked about it last night on television, too, on NBC Sports Boston. That comment in particular, to me, is like, that's textbook on how to handle that question. Talk about textbook. Somebody in Red Sox ownership or in media relations was sitting there going, oh, man, this guy's good. Boy, is he good, Cora. And the Red Sox are now at 111 wins and counting in 2018. 111. A 111-win team is easy to like. Okay, it's easy to like. But even before this Yankee series and before last night, the Red Sox were likable. They were certainly more likable than they were under John Farrell. And I think there's a direct correlation there. Okay, again, Cora, pretty much players make mistakes. He says they make mistakes. Eduardo Rodriguez doesn't get off the mound, and he says, hey, be accountable. So he's very forthright, very candid, and yet can do so in a way where he doesn't alienate his players. And maybe that's where the winning comes in, I think. If you start ripping players when you lose, well, then that's something different. Then people are a little more sensitive. So we'll have to see how that one goes going forward. But overall, like, I feel like Cora walks that line pretty well. And more importantly, I just find the way that he communicates to be refreshing. As I would phrase it, he speaks with you, not at you. Farrell spoke at you and used such convoluted terms and words that you didn't know what the hell he was saying half the time. So again, listen to Cora last night talking about Judge, the cut that we just played you, and he's basically saying, hey, look, the kid made a mistake. What do you want me to tell you? We all like him. You know him. I like him. Everybody likes him. So maybe they got a little raucous and they were feeling their oats a little bit. But he's good for the game. He's good for baseball. And I like watching him play, and I think everyone should. You know, the game, he really is one of the faces of baseball. And he's right. Cora's right. So he is able to articulate that in his second language better than John Farrell ever could in his first. And I just think that there is a, you know, there's something about Cora that, you know, there's a little bit of a presence there and a confidence there and again, a candor there. And I think he learned some of that from Francona. Some of it is him. Back to your calls. Chris is in a car. Chris, what do you got?
Hi, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. Awesome show. Great callers tonight. I'm going to change my take around a little bit. I'm going to go with Eovaldi as MVP last series. I was thinking about your question earlier. I thought Eovaldi really stemmed the ship, got the win, went deep. Eovaldi deserves it. And then finally, just want to ask you guys.
Well, Chris, just quickly. I think Eovaldi pitched more innings than any other Red Sox pitcher in the series. So yeah, that should count for something. But quickly on the ninth inning, go ahead.
Seal scared me, but one, he came in and did the job, and then, what's his name? Sorry, I'm just blanking. But I want to ask you a quick question. Would you flex that game? Because I'm dying to see the ratings after the Patriots-Red Sox play. I'm just wondering, if you're a Major League Baseball brat, would you flex that game? Just wondering.
So you're talking about Game 2 of the series on Sunday is basically going against the Patriots. And let me tell you right now, the Red Sox are going to get killed. They're going to get killed. Patriots-Chiefs will do a huge number, and the Red Sox are going to lose. Big. So football is king. There are no two ways about it, and it's one game a week, so it's not totally apples to apples. Although in this case, you should get a better indication because it's a playoff game. Regular season baseball against the NFL, my God, landslide. Not even close. But this Sunday, the Patriots will kill the Red Sox. Justin's in a car on Rick Porcello. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, I actually got two things. First thing with Porcello is killing me all day. People are saying, why'd they take him out? Should have left him in. But from what I was seeing, it looked like he was running out of gas. He wasn't hitting the plate. He pitched good up to that point, and then it just seemed like he was falling apart. So okay, what's I feel like it was a good call. That's how I feel.
Okay, what was the second thing?
The second thing is everyone talking about Angel Hernandez. The thing that killed me from watching the game was that check swing. That he said he went around, but he never went around. I think that was the worst call of the game.
Okay, so I don't remember the check.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't remember the check swing you're talking about. The one really bad call to me that stuck out. And there were, you know, there's always bad calls. Calls you disagree with. Porcello had an at bat. Who was he facing? Was it Hicks or Gregorius? One of those two where he had a couple of pitches on the outer part of the plate. One was a changeup that I thought, that ball's a strike, and it was called a ball. But the one that I thought was really egregious was the one to Benintendi to end the eighth when Betances struck him out and Benintendi argued with the umpire. I thought that Angel Hernandez whiffed on that call badly. Nick is in Belmont. Nick, go.
Hey, Matt, quick three succinct points. Point number one, it kills me that after a 6-for-12 night by Brock and Devers, 6 RBIs, 5 runs, you know the whole deal, that Cora went to Nunez and the other guy there, Kinsler, for just because of the lefty-righty matchup. That kills me. Speaks to Cora's Kahunas. Point number two.
Okay, but he was right. But go ahead.
You're right, but regardless, the Kahunas lack thereof. Point number two. You can't give Cora credit for putting Salen in the eighth. Any manager could do that. That's an easy call. Point number three, most importantly, is that when Sale's cruising after 13 pitches, he's got the jitters out. He's good to go. You go to an erratic Kimbrel. He's done this before. I just wanted to get your take on why not just continue to pitch Salen to the ninth when the next game, if you win, is Saturday.
Okay, so look, I didn't like Sale in the game at all. So I don't give Cora credit for Sale. I thought that was a risky, dangerous move, and he even said it. He told the dugout, we're all in. So, you know when you're all in? When you're gambling. When you're gambling. So I didn't like that. And it did occur to me that once you put him in, you might as well leave him in for the last two, which, if this were later in the playoffs, he will do. He will do. I don't think there's any question. If Sale comes out of the bullpen and call it Game 7 of the World Series, Kimbrel's not getting in there unless Sale gets into trouble. But last night, my guess is that Cora did not want to bury Kimbrel. And he said to himself, if I leave Sale in, I'm already telling my closer I don't believe in him in any postseason game. And he didn't want to do that because you got a ways to go here yet. You're still going to get 8 more wins. They're going to need Kimbrel. So, but I honestly, and I'm trying to just, you know, trying to tell you what I felt at the time, I did not love Sale coming into that game. Rick's in a truck. Go ahead quickly, Rick.
Yeah, Matt, quick question for you. I think Dombrowski really showed his mettle when he took Evaldi instead of Britton. What do you think?
So, Rick, right now, huge win for him. Huge win. Let's see how Evaldi does going forward. If Evaldi was only good against the Yankees and stinks in the next couple of rounds, I don't know. I mean, at this stage, though, I'd have to say that just that one game alone was probably worth it. So, The hole in the bullpen, if that comes back to bite the Red Sox in the ass, Dombrowski doesn't outrun that one. I mean, that one is, you know, that one is something that every GM in the game would have addressed. He did not. Jay and Beverly, I think, wants to get on me and my opinion of players, and I can't say I blame them. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, how's it going, Maz?
Good.
I respect your opinion a lot about baseball more than any other talking head that's not play the game.
But
when it comes to Stanton and Martinez, you spend weeks, if not months, you know, crapping on the pickup. And I was wondering if your opinion on, you know, evaluating players starts to skew a little bit, or just like being so, you know, adamant about the mistake the Red Sox made. But now you see with the value, it's like obviously it was a great pickup.
Yeah, so Jay, look, I couldn't have been more wrong about the two players. Okay, now look, Stanton, I couldn't have been more wrong. Stanton did not have a bad regular season. But if you're talking about skill in the batter's box, J.D. Martinez blows him away. Okay, blows him away. Now, if you remember at the time, I said I thought the Red Sox lacked a middle-of-the-order presence and I wanted a rock star. I think Stanton has some of that. But again, at the end of the day, if you don't win, what does it matter? J.D. Martinez has sort of, he produced like a rock star, and he's a way better hitter than Stanton. So now, what I would tell you is that I just hadn't seen enough of him, and that's no excuse. But watching Stanton on a regular basis, it's indisputable. J.D. Martinez is far superior in the batter's box as a complete hitter. Stanton's a hack. He's got a ton of power, but he's a hack. Now, that said, the Yankees can still win with him if Gary Sanchez turns back into what he turned into and Judge is a MVP candidate, which he was as a rookie. Then Stanton doesn't have to be great. He just has to keep doing what he did, which is 38 homers and 100. Sanchez's year hurt the Yankees as much as anything, too. Nick's in a card. Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I think everyone's giving Alex Cora way too much credit.
Probably.
I mean, the MVP of the series, give me a break. I mean, obviously it worked with Sale, but he threw 12 pitches. That's awesome. What if he struggles? What if he throws 25? What's your plan the next day? And then one other thing, you got Craig Kimbrell on the mound in the ninth inning. The guy looks like he's about to walk in the game-tying run. You have nobody in the bullpen. What's your plan? You're just for game five?
So, Nick,
on your starter out there?
Nick, he had Joe Kelly up late. I don't know if they showed him. Kelly got up in the middle of the inning. But let me ask you a question. Would you bring Joe Kelly into a bases-loaded situation?
I mean, when Kimbrell's about to walk in the tying run, I think you almost have to. I mean, if he ties the game up there, you can't let him keep struggling out there.
Okay, so Nick, here's what I would tell you. That once you get to that stage, you're screwed. So this is the problem with the bullpen, that you have two viable relievers right now, which Cora told you last night. Cora last night used two guys out of that bullpen, Barnes and Brazier. That's it. Sale got the eighth, and then Kimbrell, to me, is a given because he's your closer. Like, none of us have said you can't close Kimbrell, you know, in the ninth inning. You can't do it. We all just assumed he would get the ball, and he will continue to get the ball. But if he gets into trouble, you have nowhere else to go. And sorry, Joe Kelly or Craig Kimbrell at that stage, to me, it's Kimbrell's game to lose. You manage the whole game to get to Kimbrell. He gets in trouble, you're going to take him out and put Joe Kelly in? No way. No way.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.